regular, or decaf. Back to the Brown Roofing Melissa in the Morning Diner Tour on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
I'm such a fan of hers. Oh, my gosh. She's a very special human being.
She is.
Oh, are we on? Oh, fantastic. Oh. See? Look at that. I had to honestly kind of geek out a little bit because let me tell you, Tony Boucher, I've been waiting to meet you. I have heard you on the Lisa Wexler show more times than I can count. You are like famous here.
Well, I don't know about famous. I do know that I listen to WICC all the time.
Well, thanks.
And my two favorite people are you and Lisa.
Well, that's
and
very nice.
It is the power duo of radio.
Wow.
Connecticut. It really is.
Thank you. Well, I mean, you're quite a powerful woman with an amazing story. I wrote down your book, Stone Doll. I'm going to go read that. I was told to read that, and I can't wait. I want to, and by the way, yes, so Tony Boucher, a lot of you probably, if you are here in Wilton, know the first select woman of Wilton. And I want to talk about your story a little bit, because it sounds like it is one that is almost unbelievable.
Well, I have to tell you that every person you meet has a story.
Yeah.
We all have a story. You just have to be the survivor of your own story. And mine is like a million other immigrant stories, a million. But there is a surprise ending. And the books came about 4 or 5 years ago, right after my husband passed away. My cousin, who was 30 years older than I, who grew up in Italy and immigrated, he had like 67 pages of notes. And it wasn't just notes about our family, but it was also about how the contadino lived, which is the poor Italian farmer.
Mm.
You know, kind of like Appalachia today, in the center of Italy, south of Rome, north of Naples, in the countryside. And my brother called me right after my husband passed away and said, Tony, if you don't write that book, we're going to die before it ever gets written, the story.
Wow.
So it really was like a punch in the gut. And I started typing along with, I was still working full time as well for an investment firm. You know, I had retired from being or serving in the legislature after many
say,
years.
Yes, you were up in Hartford,
from,
came down
from
here.
Being in the state Senate. And I was gone after that big 18-18 tie of 36 state senators, the first time in 100 years where we did some really great work,
Mm-hmm.
And the last bill I had was the teaching of the Holocaust to the public school students in Connecticut. And it was a proud moment for me because it was something I'd worked on for over a decade.
Thank you for that. That's
well,
amazing.
It was important to me, for, and it's part of the story.
Yes.
And why. So I started typing, and before I knew it, I had like 450 pages.
Isn't that amazing?
It was too much. And so I had to get a partner to help me, someone that was professional, put it into chapters. And he said, you know, there's two books here. I said, okay. And I said, the other one is all about UConn. And it's about your relationship with them and how that all came to be. I said, well, it's like putting the cart before the horse, because the real story is how it all began in Italy. But he insisted, and we put out a book, and I titled both of them. This one's called The Husky Effect, How the University of Connecticut is Creating Entrepreneurs of the Future.
Oh, I love that.
And he said, we have to do it during March Madness. So a year before this, the year passed, it was March Madness, and it was quite a year,
yeah.
I would have to say. And it came out and highlighted some of the surprise ending story, the business miracle, and how that transformed into working with the business school to create and support programs to help young students learn about how do you build a business? How do you recover from a failure in a business? What are the tools that you need?
Mm.
And so that was pretty cool. But then the real book was the one from the very beginning. It was the immigrant story that I hoped would all immigrants and Americans could relate to. And by the way, part of it was to be an inspirational story, because I had been often asked to speak to Literacy Volunteers of America in Connecticut.
Mm.
And when I got up to tell my story and this sea of attendees, I could see the tears starting to fall.
Right.
And they would come up to me and they just felt that if I could come, if I could come from a stone doll. And again, it was a title that I titled because it was the earliest memory I could ever remember as a toddler on a farm in rural Italy, where there were no one around. there were the sheep, the goats. The parents would go into the fields every day, and we would left behind.
Right.
And there was no one. My brother was 6 years old. I was, four. And his job was to watch the sheep, which he got in trouble all the time because he was losing them, because his head was in the clouds. Long story short, he ended up studying astrophysics.
Isn't that funny?
And building his own telescope at the age of 12.
Holy cow.
He groaned his... the story is really quite remarkable.
Yeah.
So here I was, left alone. My mother would put food in a little pantry and cover it with a dishcloth. And when we were hungry, we would feed ourselves.
Wow.
And she was always terrified some animal would, would injure us or what have you.
Sure.
And I didn't have anything to play with. So I picked up a stone, I wrapped it with my mother's dishcloth, and I would rock it in my arms to play.
Your stone doll.
So that was the reason for the title.
That's
so
beautiful.
It's like, how do you get from there to where you are today?
It's so wild.
And it is a wild story.
I can't wait to read it. I really am. It was like the first thing I wrote
down. There's a lot there. We got here through some very difficult circumstances. My two uncles were smuggled on a below ship in barrels by my grandfather, who paid a fare, and they came to America, to Connecticut. They were all farmers, because back then the boys went to school till the third, at most fourth grade. My father,
right,
third
sure.
grade, and the women didn't get any education, so my mother did not have a day in school.
Wow.
So we ended up, because the two uncles, my grandfather wanted them to escape the Mussolini's army, and he was throwing, and during Second World War, he was throwing everyone on the front lines. In this case, my father was left behind because he was younger.
Right.
And so when they found them out in America, the government found them out and said, well, we need farmers. We need people to dig ditches for telephone poles.
Oh,
so
wow.
So here's the deal. If you pledge allegiance to America, we'll ship you to Cuba, which were friends of America, and they had a pathway to legalization. So they shipped them down there. They spent a couple weeks there. They were sent back legally to America. They were given the ability to work legally.
Wow.
And ultimately, it led to citizenship. But my dad, unfortunately, was left behind. And his story is very tragic and difficult, as was my mom.
Mm.
And so he did go on the front lines in Libya, was in prison camp, nearly died, nearly starved to death. It was horrible, horrible.
Holy cow.
But long story short, he ended up back after the war, and Italy changed sides in 1943. But my aunt, who was left behind, the wife of one of the uncles in America, she had to fend for herself and the elderly and the family. And the Nazis ran over the farm and did horrible things to the family.
Gosh.
So that was a very difficult story. But that was before my time. But ultimately, when my father was shipped back to America after prison camp and being sent to England, there was an arranged marriage. And my brother and I were the result of that. And so then our immigration to Connecticut. And that story about how difficult it can be when you're uneducated, you're poor, and there was no English as a second language or
right.
ESL, any of those.
Right.
So you're literally in the back of a classroom. And that's where I spent 4 years from kindergarten to fourth grade until just a light went on. And then a few teachers afterwards were amazing. And they saw the circumstances. But more importantly, they saw the genius of my brother.
Wow.
And he sort of led the path through the educational system. He really... just excelled at everything.
Oh my gosh.
At everything. And so, long story short, I ended up on multiple adventures. I call it the female version of Forrest Gump.
You know, I love that.
It's a crazy story.
Yeah.
And, ultimately, when I thought, well, no one coming from my circumstances, certainly that doesn't have connections or money, will ever be involved in politics. And, you know, as
how
I said,
funny.
Life has its twists and
God
turns.
Has a sense of humor, that's for
well,
sure.
That is absolutely.
That's one of my favorite things to say.
Oh, I would
it's
love
so
that
true.
As the next title of another book.
Yeah,
really,
God has a sense of humor.
Of humor.
Mm-hmm.
That would be perfect for
yeah.
it. So, here we are.
I got to be honest, Tony. If I had this entire show to, because that's the Cliff Notes version of your book, which I can't wait to read. If I wasn't being told that I have to move to the next guest in the next minute and a half, I would have you fill an entire 5-hour show just talking about your whole political background, Wilton, your story, everything.
Oh.
But honestly, this is exactly what the Diner Tour is for. Because
I am so excited.
Right?
Oh, my God. God. I am so excited you are here at Orem's Diner because I have such a special relationship with this diner. I think it is the best, most delicious, has the best people that work here, have worked here for decades. I am such a... I'm connected because when I got involved in politics, well, first as a mom 45 years ago, that was one of our first places we came to was the diner with our children. And they come back here. Every generation comes back to Orem's Diner. But they were almost going to go away because I had negotiated a widening of Route 7 instead of allowing a Super 7 highway through our towns.
Right.
So to widen it, it took out all of the old Orem's Diner. So what happens to their future? So they pleaded for help on buying some state land, but that state land was restricted for a super highway. So they couldn't. So I had to pass a bill. And how do you do that in the minority? Well, I befriended, and they befriended me, the chair of the Transportation Committee. And so he and I worked out a deal where they could buy at market value this little parcel of land that was restricted for a superhighway.
Yeah.
Well, and so they ended up being able to continue to be the great diner that they are. They built a new building.
That's amazing.
They kept the old sign outside, and they continued to this wonderful legacy for the community. And that relationship, and my theme in my book for young people, build those important relationships, because that ended up also allowing me to help build a greenway, the Norwalk River Valley Trail.
They're coming on later, too.
And
all the things.
That's how it started.
That's
by
amazing.
Saving Orem's Diner and then going to try to allow that land to be used something other than a superhighway, which required another law to be passed in the state of Connecticut. So it really did transform our area, and all for your involvement in the state of Connecticut's legislature. So it is really a Cinderella story, as people have said. Sometimes, Tony, Cinderella stories do come true, and mine did.
I love that. Well, I wish I had more time in this segment, but this is exactly what it would be like if I ran into you at the diner. So I'm glad that we literally emulated exactly what the diner tour is for, and we got even just a snippet of your entire story, Tony, and I would love to have you back on the show. I know you and Lisa Wexler are like this, so I would never compete with that, because honestly, Lisa is queen.
I
would love to have you back on, though.
It would
be a blast.
That. You are all such an important asset to our communication for the state of Connecticut. And really, media and those news outlets are really the underpinning of our democracy.
Thanks,
you really
Tony.
Are. Thank you for what you do.
Hey, listen, as long as they keep me, I'm going to stay here. So it's going to be great. Tony Boucher, thank you so much.
Thank
again,
you.
Wilton for Select Woman, and definitely come back on the show. I would
appreciate
love to have you on very
love
soon.
To do it.
Thank
Take
you
care.
So much.
Bye-bye.
We're going to be right back with the Brown Roofing Melissa in the Morning Diner Tour after this.